honored. Just full. Right now, I'm just full. I just feel so honored and blessed. My wife and I just are so thankful for Pastors Bill and Debbie for what, for who they are, first of all, who they are in the Lord, but who they are to us. We would not be here. Well, of course, we wouldn't be here unless it was for them, but we would not be in the spiritual place that we are today if it hadn't been for Pastors Bill and Debbie Smalt. What you have here, what you have in Pastor Bill and Debbie are people that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're sold out to His will and His purposes. And there's great, there, you have a great treasure here. And my heart is full. I've been praying for the city of Petersburg. Just believe that God wants to just pour out in Petersburg and pour out upon you just a precious, presence of the Lord here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And just so thankful for you guys. And my wife and I are just full right now. But I'd just like to, before share the word, just want to go before the Lord. Father God, I just come before you with such a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of humility, Lord. That song, Lord God, I'm not enough, Lord, unless you come. Lord, I stand here before you, and Lord, I declare to you, I'm not enough unless you come. And I ask Holy Spirit to come and breathe upon this word, Lord. Breathe upon this word that you put into my heart for your precious people here, Lord. Precious people that are watching online, Father. Lord, I just pray, God, that your name would be glorified, that a refreshing would come, that a strength would come, that your word would prevail, O God, even among this precious people, among this city, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the word. Anoint the word. And I ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I was praying a few weeks ago and about a word, and just the word came, and I shared it with the church up in Scranton. But when I was preparing it, God said, this is the word for Petersburg. And so I just want to begin today by reading a scripture found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. These are the words of Jesus. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If we look at the church, that's you and me. If we look at the church in this hour, the redeemed, the ecclesia, the called out ones, those of us that have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, if we look at the church, the body of Christ, it's a historical time in the church. And it's also a very pivotal time in the church. All throughout church history, there's been pivotal times. Why is it a pivotal time? Because it's a time that's been described in 2 Timothy 3:1, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times. That word in the Greek means difficult. It means troublesome. It means fierce. It means violent times. Why is that scripture put in there? Why did the Holy Spirit pen that? Because the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said there's going to be perilous times that are going to come during all throughout church history, but because we want you to be prepared, because when they come, they're going to try to reduce and shrink your faith. They're going to try to reduce and shrink your strength. We're in that time right now. But I'm not saying these were the only perilous times in the church. Look at church history, just a few points in church. 70 AD, where Jerusalem, the Roman army came in and destroyed Jerusalem, just like Jesus said it was going to happen. How many know that was a perilous time for the church? The church was alive. The church was strong, but they were facing a perilous time. How about in the Civil War period? How many know that was a perilous time? Division, greed, brother fighting against brother. I mean, perilous. How about in the early 60s? I was little in the early 60s, but that was a perilous time. There was immorality abounding in the earth. Especially in this nation, there was violence in that time. There was division and there was drugs. I mean, there was no right or wrong in that time. Perilous. How many know the church was present in that period? In each of these perilous times, God had a people. God had a people. He had a remnant that stood strong in those times. No matter if you go, I mean, decade after decade, there have been pivotal times in the church, but there was always a people that stood faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. There was a people that stood strong no matter what they were facing. They didn't bow down to fear. They didn't bow down to apathy. They didn't bow down to worldliness. God always has a remnant. He always has a people. And I was thinking about this, Pastor, and I was thinking about how this, and we are here. Church, we are here. God called you and I to be present in this day, in this hour, for such a time as this. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by accident. God knew what He was doing. He placed you and me, the church, in this hour that we're living in, where there's chaos all around, there's violence all around. There's division all around. But God's still looking for a people that are going to be found faithful to Him and faithful to His Word, no matter what the situation. In times of difficulty, in times of hardship. How many have had hardships over the last year? Difficulties, trials, tribulations. God is looking for a people that are going to stay strong in those times, times of weakness. The Apostle Paul experienced, the great man of God, experienced times of weakness, but then he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And as I was meditating on this word I heard the word rewards. See, we're living in a time where it's perilous, but God's looking for a people that are going to stay strong. And there are great rewards for those that are going to be found faithful in these times that we're living in. There's rewards. And these rewards are going to be that we're going to walk in the love of Jesus. We're going to walk in the mercy and grace of the Lord. Those rewards are going to be evident. And it's not where we don't bow down to fear, we don't bow down to division, but we say, God, I'm gonna be just enwrapped with Your love, and I'm gonna be a producer in the world, a witness of Your love. Like Nehemiah, Nehemiah saw he heard about the destruction and the walls were burned down and the gates. And what did he do? He just wept before the Lord. He fasted and he prayed and said, God, restore. Restore. God is looking for a people that are going to not get caught up in what's going around them and say, God, restore. God put us here as his sons and his daughters to make a difference. To make a difference in this world. I want to talk to you today about the overcomer. The overcomer, the one who prevails, the one who conquers, the one who's victorious. How many know we're in a fight? We're in a fight. But see, it's not a fight against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and it's against rulers of darkness. We're in a fight. We're in a fight with this flesh nature. How many know? We're in a fight with this mind, wrong mindsets. We're in a fight with our wrong emotions. Our emotions try to well up. How many know it's a fight? Fight. God called us to be overcomers. Do you know that when we were rescued, I was rescued. I was rescued. I didn't have a clue about anything. But Jesus came and he rescued me. But do you know that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you receive the Holy Spirit, right then you became an overcomer. The Spirit of the Lord was in you, and he calls you to be an overcomer right then. You didn't have to go through 3 or 4 years of seminary. You know what? You don't have to be in the Lord for 30, 40 years to be an overcomer. You're an overcomer from day one, a new creation, called to overcome fear, called to overcome discouragement, called to overcome depression, called to overcome things that battle us. What does an overcomer in the Lord look like? I wrote a couple things down. Overcomer has peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. The storm does not overcome them. They overcome the storm. There's peace. Overcomer is found faithful in hard times. An overcomer loves those who hurt them. Love those who hurt them. That's an overcomer. An overcomer just has this belief and trust in God and his power that he will see them through anything. An overcomer doesn't give up. An overcomer keeps pressing on. Keeps pressing on in the love of Christ, in the grace and mercy of the Lord. God put you here for this time. Put me here. For this time, to overcome things that are going to try to steal your strength, steal your joy, even try to steal your witness. It's going to be the overcomers in this hour that prevail and make a difference in this world. I want to be an overcomer. Like never before, I want to be an overcomer. I want to share 4 things today about an overcomer. Number 1, an overcomer runs to God first. An overcomer runs to God first. They have such a relationship with the Lord. That's why when Pastor Debbie was sharing about in the Word and in prayer, there's a communion with the Lord, that they automatically run to God first. Psalm 121:2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. The overcomer understands this, that there's a mighty hand of God that's right alongside them. An overcomer understands that God is a personal God. He's with you at all times. An overcomer knows Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Be not dismayed, for I am, and I will strengthen you. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. The overcomer knows that. They don't doubt it. They just know it. That's why they can run to him first. I'm not saying that the overcomer doesn't go to people, hey, can you just pray with me? Doesn't mean the overcomer doesn't go for some counsel, gets counsel and gets wisdom. How many know the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Sometimes we need wisdom. I go to Pastor Debbie at times. They're still my mentors. They strengthen me, and sometimes I just need to go to them. But see, the overcomer still goes to God first. Before he goes to anybody else, he goes to God first. That's what the overcomer does. So often, can I just get real? So often we rehearse our problems. Before going to God, we start rehearsing our problems. We dwell on our problem. Instead of dwelling in the secret place, we dwell on our problem. We make our problems our dwelling place. And what happens is fear comes in. Anxiousness comes in. But God says, I don't want you to dwell there. I want you to run to me first. Not second, not third, not fourth. Fifth. But first. What happens when we run to God first? There's a strength that comes. You know how many know fear can't dominate? Fear cannot dominate the man, the woman that runs to God first. See, God diminishes fear when we run to him first. Overcomer. Caleb and Joshua are good examples. If how is so applicable, the 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb said, our God is with us. He's right here. He has all the power. He already declared us victorious. Those giants, that's okay. They are big. But guess what? My God is greater than the giants. That's Joshua and Caleb. They didn't let the circumstances overcome them. They overcame the circumstances. But what happened to the 10 spies? Here's what they did. They cried. They complained. And they wept. And they were in fear. Overcomer runs to God first. Always. Always. Number two. The second thing about an overcomer is that they are ones who don't grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The overcomer understands one thing, that you know what? I am going to keep on doing good. You know that word good in the Greek means beautiful. It means commendable. It means admirable. It means to bring health. And so, in other words, don't be weary in doing things that are beautiful, doing things that bring health, doing things that are admirable. Because when you do, you're going to reap a harvest. And harvest always speaks of blessing. Harvest always speaks of rewards for labor, your labor. Steadfast. People that have a good attitude. People that keep doing right things, speaking right things. Their words are grace-filled. They keep on being the peacemaker. Even in the hard times. Even it's so easy to speak things that are beautiful and bring health when everything is going right. But how about when things are difficult and trials? The overcomer says, I'm going to keep on doing good things and I'm not going to grow weary. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Just a wonderful just presence of the Spirit of the Lord here. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. who is in the midst of the paradise of God. The overcomer is going to eat the fruits of their labor. Right now, there's a harvest coming of blessings to those that rise above the situations and problems in your life. Blessings of peace, blessings of joy, blessings of strength, even blessings of wisdom. There's going to be wisdom coming to the people. Well, you'll have an understanding. You're not going to look at things in the natural. You're going to look at things through the eyes of the Lord and say, this is what's happening. Fresh breath of, I really believe the Holy Spirit, when you rise above, when I rise above things and I don't grow weary in doing good, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to breathe a fresh breath of heaven upon you. There's going to be such a spirit of peace and joy and contentment. God's got great rewards. I was just feeling that in my spirit. See, it's one thing to be going along in the church when things are going good, but what about when we're in the perilous times? What are we going to do then? But God said there's going to be great rewards for those that are going to stand steadfast and faithful. Number three, the third thing that an overcomer does is they know that God is working in the midst. Somehow that God is doing something, we don't understand a complete revelation, but God is working all things together for good. I have to believe Joseph knew this. Now, did he have the full revelation? He didn't, right? Not until the very end. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He had the full revelation. But I believe that when he was going through every trial, every injustice, there was something about Joseph that he knew that God was in it. As wrong and as bad as it was, God was in it. I had to, because look what he did. He was sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. And guess what happened when he was in Potiphar's house? Prospered. Promoted. You don't get promoted and you don't prosper when you're complaining and filled with hurt and filled with unforgiveness. He knew that God... I don't understand everything, but I know you're right with me. I know you're doing something. How about this? How about when he was falsely accused? What injustice. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison for accused of rape, attempted rape of Potiphar's wife. In prison. Guess what he did in prison? Prospered. They raised him up. He was promoted. They entrusted him with the whole prison population. That doesn't happen unless you have overcome some things, overcome hurt, overcome injustice, overcome unforgiveness. He didn't dwell in his problems. He just, okay, God, I don't know. I just know you're here. I know you're with me, and I know you're gonna help me. And I know that as long as I stay faithful to you, as long as they stay strong in according to your word, I know that all things are going to work together for good for those who love the Lord. That's the key for those who love the Lord. Jesus said, you show your love for me by obeying me. Joseph. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the word of the Lord for this season. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Overcomers. They take a higher perspective. They take God's perspective. And because of that, they can overcome any situation facing, whatever you're facing. Number four, you can't be an overcomer until you have something to overcome. I wish that wasn't the case, but that's the case. You can't be an overcomer. How can we be called an overcomer if we don't have anything to overcome? When everything's going good? How many know you? How can you overcome good? But you can't be an overcomer until you have something. Look at Gideon. Look at Gideon and his army. You know, that Gideon's family was a family that was considered the weakest in that whole area. Was considered, if you study that out, weakest. And then Gideon, in that family, he was the weakest in that family. So God said, I'm going to choose the weakest of the weak. And he says to Gideon, I want you to raise up an army. What? You got to be kidding me. You want me, the weakest of the weak, to raise up an army? Here's the thing I love about God. He chooses the weak. I love that. The Apostle Paul says, not many are wise that are chosen. I definitely can relate to that. Not many strong. Not many wise. Why is that? So no flesh can glory. So man cannot glory. I believe what God's going to do in this hour is raise up the unknowns and people that, and all of a sudden, wow, they look so different. They look attractive. How many of the world needs Jesus right now like never before? They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus. I love that about God. Do you know how many, when you watch movies, you're always for the underdog. You're always for the underdog. That I believe that's part of God's nature. Want the underdog to win. Well, that's what God does. He takes the weak of the weakest and raises them up to show himself strong. I like to study revivals, and I think one of the greatest revivals that have affected us in this day was Azusa Street. And how did it happen? God takes this unknown man, son of a slave, blind in one eye, poor, and he uses this unknown, quote, weak as the world sees him, to start a revival that has affected everyone around the world, even to this day, where a new wave of the Holy Spirit was poured out. Do you know, if you study this man, he was a man of humility and great love. Great love and humility. And all he wanted was God. God, I know there's more. And he fasted and he wept and he prayed. And God used them. God used them mightily. And there is one thing about this revival, like all revivals, it brought together rich men and women right alongside with poor men and women. It brought the black, the white, the Asian, the Hispanic, all together, and it didn't matter. They were all in one accord. That's what God does when he pours out his spirit. That's what God wants to do. Overcomers. But he chooses the weak. So here's Gideon, and he's like, okay, God, I guess you know what you're doing. And so he gathers 32,000 men. He said, God, this is all I can get. 32 against 135,000 Midianites. This is all I have. And God said, yeah, you got too many. And we know, if you know that, how God reduces it to 300. 300. And I believe that he was pretty good at math. He said, okay, God, you took it. The odds were 4-1 against us. Now they're 450-1 against us. And God says, yeah, that's about right. And we know the story. How God came in with 300, with a weak of the weak as leading 300 men and destroying 135,000 Midianites. What was God trying to do? God was trying to say, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And God is going to raise up those in this hour that are considered weak according to the world standard, but according to God's standard, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Watch what I can do. Watch what I'm going to do in this hour. How many know it's a learning process? It's a learning process. Becoming an overcomer, consistently an overcomer. Because sometimes we revert back into our own way of doing things, our own strength, and all of a sudden we become overcome with anxiousness. We become overcome with fear. I said, okay, yeah, God, I did that. I went back into my own strength. But God says, yeah, okay. That's okay. You're learning. You're learning. It's when we can surrender all. And that's what God is looking for, a people in this hour, to surrender all to him where he can come in and cause us to rise up. Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. The overcomer that God is raising up in this hour, the overcomer that he's trying to produce in this hour, is ones that are going to die to themselves. They're going to lay down their own strength. They're going to lay down their own opinions. They're going to lay down themselves and surrender themselves entirely to God, flowing in God's love and strength and grace. And the world's going to take notice. The world is going to take notice. Wow, they look so different than the world. And it's going to be an attraction. It's going to be an attraction because they're going to see a light shining in the darkness. It's going to draw them. As I was praying, I just saw overcomers rising up all across the church, and especially the church in America. I just saw overcomers rising up. New sense of just yielding unto God. God, I'm going to stay with you, a word. I'm going to be found faithful in you. Overcoming fear. Overcoming wrong mindsets and wrong emotions. Anything that blocks the power of God. That's what God is looking for. And when we do, when we live this overcoming life, when we count ourselves dead to self and alive to Christ, it's going to change something in us, which is going to result in a change of those around us, our families, our workplaces, even among in the church. You and I are here for such a time as this, to stand strong, to overcome. You know, the enemy is rising up. He knows his time is short. He knows his time is short. This, what we're facing, this perilous time, was produced by the enemy. And he knows his time is short, so he's trying to rise up. But God, it says, that's okay. When he comes when the enemy comes in, guess what? Like a flood, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to cause my spirit to flow in the overcomer, and it's going to reduce the enemy's schemes to nothing. You're going to use a people. You're going to use a people. If there's a time, any time, this is the time to draw so close to God. So found in that secret place where you're going to always run to him first, where you're going to always know that he is working all things together. Don't get caught up in what you see in the natural, because God is stirring some things up, because he's going to show himself strong in this hour. close. Close to him. Come, draw close to him. He's going to draw so close where you're going to run to him first. You're going to know that you're going to know that you are, that you're going to be found faithful in him. You're not going to, I'm going to keep on, God. It's hard, but I'm still going to keep on loving. I'm still going to be a peacemaker. I just love the way God does things. He doesn't do things the way we do things. His ways are higher. His ways are greater than our ways. And we would write the script a whole lot different than how we would write it. But God says, in this hour, watch what I'll do with that person. That man, that woman, that young man, that young woman that just lays down their life for me, and I'll raise them up to be mighty. Doesn't mean you're going to have this great ministry. Doesn't mean you're going to do these great things that are going to be shown on Facebook. What it means is, every person that you meet is going to sense the Spirit of the Lord in you, and they're going to see something different, and the world is going to say, that's what I need. Let's stand this morning as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Holy God, mighty God. First of all, we thank you for your great mercy. We thank you for your great love that abounds, O God. And Lord, we stand here humbly before you. We ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, by Holy Spirit, to come in and cause us to rise up, to lay down our flesh, to rise up and have our faith strong in you, where we run to you. We don't even question it. We go to you first. Where we know, God, so with that we know that there's nothing that's going to come between us. We know that we know that we know you're working, that you're working, that you're working. You're working all things together for good. And Lord, help us to see that. Help us to know that, oh God. And help us to keep on doing good, Lord. Help us. We just pray. We can't do it in our strength. But as we yield to you, Holy Spirit, you're going to cause your love to flow through us. You're going to cause your strength and joy to flow through us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't look for the wise as the world looks at wisdom. You don't look at the outside, but you look at the heart. So, Father, breathe afresh with your Holy Spirit upon us to make us the overcomers in this hour. In this hour, for such a time as this. We ask it in the mighty and great name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.